This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay, good morning, BFM 89.9. Thanks for staying with us. Now, the KLCI is still up by 0.7%, 1,578 points on the KLCI, and it's been a mixed bag. I think it's some volume on Iris, of course, on the back of that billion ringgit deal. And of course, some small rebound on glove players like Top Glove and Supermax.
Yeah, but sadly, the KLCI, right, still the most unloved major ASEAN market as of the moment, I think on a year-to-date basis.
The zag to the zig.
Yes, I think the market that has done really, really well is North Asia.
That's right. North Asia, of course, we've had interesting developments on the Hang Seng. Now, the Hang Seng has had a great start to the year. 6% year-to-date gains. That's amazing. Just 30 days. It surpassed 30,000 points for the first time since May 2019, about a week ago. And currently outperformed Asia, up about 6%, as I was saying, on a year-to-date basis. Shanghai Kop and Singapore's STI up by 1% and 2% respectively. So for an outlook on where the index is headed in 2021, we're talking to Man Huan Tham, the head of Greater China Research at UOB Kay Hian. Huan Tham, thank you for talking to us. The Hang Seng has logged its worst week since September last week, though the index has started to climb back. Are the dips actually buying opportunities for the Hang Seng?
Oh, yes, I'll think so. I think if you look at the broader macro environment this year, I do expect the monetary policy to still be quite accommodative. So I think, you know, all these dips will be actually good windows for investors. But having said that, if you look at the broader Chinese market, not just the HSI, if you look at MSCI China, you know, we're trading at about 17 times PE. That's pretty expensive compared to history. So I would advise, you know, to phase in your buying.
But may I know what's actually driving this rally in the Hang Seng Index?
Well, it's liquidity and also the relative valuation. Because if you look at the Hong Kong and the Asia listed names, right? The Hong Kong listed peers are about 37% discount to the Asia names. So, you know, to the Chinese investors, this is a really good value for them for the same names. And if you look at the China, you know, since last year, they have actually tried to clamp or prevent more liquidity going into the property market. But at the same time, you still maintain relatively accommodative monetary policy. So that money has to go somewhere. And of course, you know, it is found its way into the stock market.
On a deep dive onto the tech sector, because Hang Seng really did very well last year. It was the second largest in terms of market cap for IPOs, just short of New York. And it's really introduced a lot of products, right? Tech futures, tech options and all that in the past 6 months. How does it maintain that competitive advantage? And what's its strategy to basically, you know, build itself up as the tech Asia hub?
Well, for Hong Kong, I think that's actually, you know, is in a very strong position because, you know, that you know, if you go back much earlier, there were a lot of concerns about, you know, China, Hong Kong losing its shine as the Chinese markets starts, you know, growing. But, you know, if you look at the bigger economies, they all have a few stock markets. Look at Japan, look at the US. And I think, you know, in China, you're going to have the same situation. You know, what Hong Kong has is actually the long history, the framework that investors are, you know, used to and the British rule of law. So, you know, in terms of Chinese companies wanting to seek alternative listing, Hong Kong will be a good place to go to and also an area where investors are comfortable. So I think that given the political environment that we're seeing, there should be more mega listings in Hong Kong this year, especially coming from those US listed names, so US listed Chinese names.
I see. But building on that question, like Shanghai is just behind it in terms of its ranking and Shenzhen also is coming up very fast. Should Hong Kong be worried about that?
Well, it's always been, and that's why you find that Hong Kong Exchange has been quite aggressive in its innovation in terms of introducing new products and also, you know, not just equities, it's also going through with the Bond Connect. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, from the Chinese perspective, it's actually positive for the Chinese economy to have a much bigger platform for, you know, foreign capital to flow into China to help fund the development.
Yeah, I guess just in terms of the IPO pipeline and I guess the big divide between America and Hong Kong stroke China, I guess the big difference, Hon, is the fact that in China, Hong Kong, you've got the phenomenon of big government there and the deferral of the Ant Financial listing, which threw a spanner into a lot of works. From a fund manager's perspective, what is your perspective on that phenomenon of big government in Hong Kong, China?
Yeah, it might seem that way, you know, if you just look at the headlines. But if you really start digging deeper into the policies and also to look at the various policies that have been, that have surfaced over the past, 2 to 3 months, you actually see a picture of, you know, Chinese government trying to create a more level playing field for the tech names and also room for emerging players to have a chance to grow. To develop the Chinese economy actually gets to benefit in the longer run. So I don't really see that as a threat of a big brother intervening into the market, the longer a free market in terms of the equities. Yes, definitely it does affect sentiment in the near term, but for the longer term, I do believe that such moves have been or will be very healthy.
But you see this continuously with Ant basically being deferred, and even with Kuaishou this week itself, the Chinese regulators are also trying to control and ask them to remove videos from its short video content. Don't you think regulatory pressures will put more pressure on these valuations going forward?
For the Kuaishou, in terms of the copyright, I think that the organization that came out with the list of videos that infringed on the copyright, I don't think they have a legal power to stop anything, but that's why they're trying to raise awareness of this issue. And I'm sure that if you look at the policies that China has pushed through over the last few years, that definitely will be the direction to respect the intellectual property rights. And I don't think even the vast video libraries they have or the content they will create in future, that would create a dent on Kuaishou's business model. So yes, seems like a little bit of a hiccup, but I don't think it does matter in the longer run.
And Manhan, I want to bring the conversation back to markets, right? I mean, in the sense that do you think that we should be concerned that the headline macro data from China is soft, like the PMI dipping to 51.5 in January from 53 in December? I mean, could that derail the recent bull run that we've seen, especially I think markets have priced in China leading global recovery?
No, I think the Chinese economy is actually relatively stable. Of course, the recovery has not been very balanced. So you do realize that, consumption has been a bit slower. It was more production that has been quicker in the recovery. But and the recent PMI dip, it should be expected because part of it was due to the weaker new export orders. We know that the developed world is having another round of lockdown, and that should happen. But if you go into next year, and especially if you have a low base for comparison as well, I'm quite sure that the Chinese trade numbers will be very strong, and that could actually be quite positive for the sentiment. And also, do not forget that coming to March, we'll have the Chinese two sessions. We have details of the 14th five-year plan. I think that should provide a lot of catalyst for the for investors, for the market as well.
Now, you highlighted that the Hang Seng Index is trading at a 17 times price earnings ratio, so not exactly cheap. But what kind of investment strategy are you advocating at this current moment, besides buying on dips? I mean, what kind of sectors or stocks should investors be looking at?
Oh, that valuation was for the MSCI China Index. Yes, definitely, I also think that the Hang Seng could see some breather in the near term. So in terms of our strategy, we want to stick with the sectors that are will be well supported under the 45-year plan. We are positive on IT hardware, like on handsets play like Sunny Optical. We like the e-commerce names like JD.com because I think overall consumption will remain quite a good key driver in the Chinese recovery. And also new sectors that we promoted under the 45-year plan, like the EVs, so like CATL, Ganfeng Lithium, listed on the A-shares would be good names to buy. But also not to forget, in the first half, you could also look at the laggard sectors like airlines. We like China Southern, online travel names like Tongshan Yilong. These names you could actually pick up for a recovery trade in the later part of the first half of this year.
Okay, thanks so much for your time. That was Manhan Tan, the head of Greater China Research for UOB Kay Hian. And by way of disclaimer, both he and UOB Kay Hian do not have investments in the stocks mentioned. I think what is interesting in terms of the drivers behind the Hang Seng 6% year-to-date advance, which is huge by any stretch of the imagination, I think a lot of it is also to do with the fact that China has recovered fastest from the pandemic, somewhat ironically, because it kind of been seen as the genesis of the virus. But be that as it may, it's a huge economy, right? And if you buy Hong Kong, you buy China. I mean, Hong Kong is the gateway to the risk on assets of China.
Yeah, after all, the biggest stock on the Hang Seng Index is Tencent, and that's China's
stock,
right?
That's right.
So if you look at Hong Kong, right, they've seen inflows of as much as of 310 billion Hong Kong dollars in January just alone. Okay, and that's due to China funds launching new products. So it just gives you an idea the kind of pent-up demand there is in China for investment products. So definitely Hang Seng Index or the Hong Kong market is going to be a main beneficiary of this as Chinese citizens themselves, you know, kind of increase their exposure to investments.
Well, it goes to show that Hong Kong's stock exchange isn't a bellwether for Hong Kong's economy, but very much an indicator of China's consumption pattern and perhaps later in the future, even global tech businesses, right? So I feel that's where the index is such a valuable index in the regional bosses we operate in.
Okay, and we'll come back after this with the news. And then after that, the BBC World Service on the economic cost of closing schools. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.